Welcome to the Real Estate Trainer Podcast with your host, Brian Eisenhower. This podcast is brought to you by Eisenhower Coaching and Consulting. ICC provides customized and structured coaching and training programs for real estate agents and team leaders, representing many of the top producing agents in North America. ICC also offers broker and owner consulting on agents recruiting, training, and retention. For more info, visit EisenhowerCoaching.com or find us on Facebook.
Now I'm going to go with something that's one of the most controversial topics in the real estate industry. And I actually prepped for this very mastermind because 2 hours ago, I put a post in my company's Facebook group that has thousands of real estate agents from all across North America in it. Some of you probably saw it. And I just threw it out there. I said, do you guys charge your clients transaction fees? And if so, how much? If not, why don't you? So that has gone nuts, let me tell you. I mean, there's a lot of, I haven't looked at it in a while because I had to stop because it was, but that was about 2 hours ago I posted it. And what's funny is I'm going to show it. I'm going to show to you guys what they said. And I want you to get your thoughts together here because I want us to have a discussion about it. It is such an interesting topic. So what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to show you this post. This is totally organic. I had no idea who was going to comment on it, but you see right here, here's my post. It's in green because our company's like theme is green. I said, real estate roundtable group, do you charge clients transactions fees? How much? And if not, why don't you? You can see in just, you know, oh, it says 4 hours. So 4 hours ago, we hit 1,000 people. I've got 37 comments. So let's see what they're saying down here. We've got one guy saying, yep, $395. I'm wondering who has the courage to coach. And he said, he closes 150 transactions a year. And then you can see that works out to about $50,000 of extra income from him. Understand, there has been many times in history where we have heard these mass announcements that it was illegal to charge this fee. Okay? Many times. And every time I said, that's usually reactionary. It is being charged everywhere and it is not illegal. I promise you that, but it is cautionary. There are people that have a hard time with it, but in the vast, I mean, I don't know a state where you're not permitted to do it. And you're going to find that most people charge it that are top producers. And I'll keep proving that to you. Here's a guy, $400 per side. Here's somebody that says no, none. People are usually adamant on the none side. 350. Here's no. One of my coaches saying we need to talk about that. They're fighting. And then here's 295, but getting up at a 350 after seeing this post. Here's 495, 195, 395, 395. And these are not just our clients. These are lots of people. Some I know, some I don't personally. And I love the fact they're all, some people feel it's a part of the service. Totally cool. Here's 495 on one side, 295 on the other. Someone asked, would they charge it up front? I said, no, we do get into legal troubles if you charge advance fees. In most states, they don't like advanced fees. They want them coming out of closings. Here's people charging 100, 395. Here's no. Here's someone saying yes. Here's 300, 495, 495, et cetera, et cetera. And those are from all over the country. I know some of them, they're from every nook and cranny, but that got posted out there to get it going. Now, there you can see there's a lot of opinions. And I will tell you, there is no right or wrong to this answer. In my opinion, I think everybody's entitled to their own, but I do want to start the discussion because depending on how much you charge and how much you sell, this is a big chunk of income. You know what I'm saying? So what are your thoughts on it?
I agree with the first comment. You know, when I have someone who's a veteran and we're doing a VA loan, you know, I won't charge the $750. And when someone's doing down payment assistance and I know that all they have is $1,000 for the EMD and $1,000 for inspection and appraisal, I already know I'm not going to hit them for the $750 there. And then a handful of times, if it's a make or break, you know, when there's someone who's like, hey, I won't pay a fee. I'll get you the listing. You can charge me 2.5% or 3% or whatever for your side. I just won't pay the fee. I'm not going to like let a contract go or a listing agreement go over a couple hundred bucks. Or in a buyer situation where, you know, they're losing their head at the last week of closing, it's like, cool. Hey, I'll take care of half the fee or the fee. It's not the end of the world here. So, but I will say about 70 to 80% of the time, we're getting the clients to pay the fees. You know, I mean, they don't pay my E&O. I pay my own E&O, 175, you know, per transaction, but for the most part, paying that fee there.
Sure. I think it's great. I mean, I saw that in the post too, a couple people saying, hey, it gives me something to give away. You know what I mean? Like it's a negotiating piece that I can give away and still protect my commission amount. I get that argument. And I mean, I don't think you're allowed to charge a fee with VA, right? Or do they disallow it somehow? It seems like I remember that.
I know we can't renegotiate our commissions on an offer, a commission's contingent upon our offer. I know we can't do that.
Okay, yeah, that's true. Okay. So yeah, so you have different instances. Okay. And did you say you charge $750, Philip?
Yes.
That's an awesome number.
It's not like I keep any of it. $375 goes to our office, $375 for the TC partner. I make nothing from that $750.
In theory, I mean, all of us could say that. You know what I'm saying? Anybody that charges the fee, we could say it's going to postcards. It's going to, you know, go to any expense we have as a real estate agent. If we dedicate it to an expense, we can make that same statement. Does that make sense? Because your TC partner, that's an expense that you elect to do. Paying the office, you elect to do that. So I think that that's a fair statement. A lot of people, I think, don't admit, if you don't believe you should do this, then I'm not telling you to do it. That I want to make sure you understand. There's not a right or wrong here. I'm going to say that again. Do understand. Like, Philip, how many transactions do you close in a year?
Last year, I was right around 18.
18, okay. And if you're saying 70% of that?
Right.
That means 12 and a half times 750. That's almost $10,000 right there annually. That's right. Junk. You know what I mean? That you'd be paying somehow otherwise if you didn't charge it, right? So I think most of us are, what's your average price, Philip?
It's about 600,000.
About 600,000, right. Which is much higher than the national.
It's still lower. I mean, my average price last year was a lot lower. It was like barely hit 500. Did a lot of condos in that and some referral deals. And then this year it's hovering right around 525. Though Frank will attest, our average for the Valley for other agents, like 750 or some crazy number in the Santa Valley.
Wow. Well, I'll say, I mean, the hardest part often is, you know, how, if I'm not used to saying that to my clients, you know, it's already hard enough to when they ask you about the commission amount and you tell them, and you're not used to telling them about some administrative transaction fee that they're going to have to pay too, that's where all the apprehension comes, right? And then that often turns into, well, it's not right. I shouldn't do it anyway. And then I don't have to worry about it and I get rid of my anxiety. That's the power of scripts, right? So let me ask you, how do you say it, Philip? How do you tell them?
Oh, at time of consultation. At time of listing, you know, the listing's a lot easier because they see what we're paying in terms of getting their home staged, photographed, everything else. And I'm very adamant that, you know, of that 750, 375 for our admin fee, 375 for our TC partner fee, I explain that the office is overseeing our file and they actually do keep records. I believe the minimum is 5 years. And we do bring on a TC partner from escrow to close in order to really give them an extra pair of eyes on the documents, on the transaction itself. So people see the value there. The time I get most of the blowback is with buyers. It's like, well, you know, if I go with someone else and I don't have to pay, but I by the time the end of the consultation is there, they see the value in working with me in terms of how we're going to get their offer accepted, how we're going to dial down, how, you know, the network that I have in terms of the realtors that we could work with. And then by the very end, I show them, look, agencies, depending on where you work with, will charge you various amounts. Great news is you're not paying me any commissions for any home that we find through the MLS, and that's in the BRE, that's in the buyer's representation exclusive. Any fees that I collect will be directly from the listing brokerage paid to my brokerage. The only thing we do have, and I explain what the Keller Williams admin fee is, what the TC fee, what the TC does in the transaction. And by that time, they're pretty like, awesome. And do I pay this up front? No, you don't. You can pay this all through escrow. And if we don't close escrow, you're not charged any of this. You don't pay me anything or charge the $750 for that. And typically at that point they sign off. I said earlier that it's usually when they blow up at the end, you're right. It is easier to give back $750 to them and then just eat the costs, you know, I mean, cause the deal gets done. TC did awesome always. And then you know, I pay what I pay to my office. So that's that.
How do you say it on the listing side? I'm curious. How do you, side, that was the buy side, which is the harder side. The buyer side, I would think, would be a lot harder.
No, the buyer side was a lot harder. The listing side, you know, the top of the page, it will show the commission that we're charging or right. If I'm thinking this right, it'll be the commission first, the overall commission, whatever we charge. Then right below it, it has the fees. When it gets into the fees, I do let them know that aside from this, what I'm taking care of. So these are fees that my office charges. And let me tell you why. Explain the KW admin fee, its oversight, and its record holding for 5 years. The TC fee covers us really from opening of contract to closing. And if we happen to have a cancellation or we restart an escrow, then that's the same fee that applies there. It's not charged multiple times. And then I go in a little bit more back into my value proposition that I've shared with them already. You know, we're covering staging, staging consultation, we're covering the photography work, and all the other things that we had covered prior to getting to that point.
Got it. So
it's almost like I'm reaffirming the value proposition at that point.
I really like that. That's awesome, Philip. I think that's huge for everybody to hear how you say it. Does anybody else have a way that they present a fee, like a transaction or administrative fee, the way that they present it? That would be, I mean, that's, to me, that's the hard part, whether it be to a buyer or a seller. The way they say it to them, that does charge them. I know not everybody does. Here is something that I will tell you. The more real estate an agent sells, the increased likelihood that they charge a fee. I have always seen that. So if someone sells 5 houses a year, they probably don't charge the fee. It's just a lack of confidence. If they sell 10, still probably not. If they jump up to 15, there's an increased likelihood, and it just keeps going up. And again, you know, you got people from different cities, different geographies, so different price points. So, you know, some of you could probably sell 10 houses in Los Angeles and, you know, close $30 million this year. But the point of the matter is the more you sell, typically, the more confidence you'll have. And that's all that's usually missing is, hey, I just don't feel comfortable saying that until you do it a few times. Because I really, like, you know, in Philip's case, that opens up 10,000, it covers 10,000 of his costs that otherwise he'd be paying out of his pocket. So the other thing that I'd throw out there for those of you that are worried that, oh my gosh, it's gonna be too salesman-y or I'm slipping another fee by them. This is why I think it's really important to early in the transaction, if not right at even the listing agreement is or a buyer consultation, we get a net sheet out there. I really like to see an estimated net sheet just to cover ourselves. This is kind of an old school thing. I've been in the business for about freaking 30 years. And with the exception of Frank, who's, I think, been in the business for 85 years. Just kidding. The you caught that, though. The it's good. I was just waking you up. The showing your clients a net sheet that breaks down all the costs used to be much more of my, in my opinion, a matter of course. But I really like running a quick net sheet, having your escrow officer, your title officer, whatnot, run one for you so that you can kind of show them, you know, here's your net sheet if we sell it at listing, here's if we sell it 20 below. And I would do that after the listing agreement just because it opens up not because I'm trying to hide anything, but in the net sheet, it's like giving them a page of objections to listing with you. So I really do not recommend showing that before they sign the agreement, or you're going to have like a 6-hour listing appointment overcoming every possible objection, including the charges about notary fees and stuff. Like, you know, so I would, oh, Frank, go ahead.
No, I was going to say that, you know, that those are a lot of really good points. When I teach agents to take a listing, I find that once you start talking about these little fees that just are all encompassing in a real estate transaction, you talk about, you know, your retrofit fee, your admin fee, your TC fee, all of these random fees, that becomes a point of contention with them when they really, really, really don't care even about how much money you make in commission. I find when I sit in front of people, I tried this one time and I was scared to death when I did it, but everybody goes, so what do you charge? What's your commission? And then you go, well, I charge 2.5%. And they go, well, You know, I know somebody that'll do it for two. And so what I learned is that I'll sit down with somebody after we've looked at the house, and we'll sit down there and I'll have all this pre-planned and ready to go. And they'll go, so what do you charge? And I'll just completely skip by their question. And I'll say, well, let me ask you this question. If you were to walk out of this house with $150,000 cash in your pocket, would you be happy? And they go, well, yeah. I go, okay, great. Well, with $150,000 cash in your pocket, that puts the listing price at $750,000 because you have $150,000 on the loan. And this is the commission. Do you know how commission works? 100% of the time they go, yes, but can you tell me again? I go, great. This is how commission works. At the end of the day, you could get paid $1 million as long as they're walking out with what they want to make. They don't care what you make. So I sidestep the commission and all that stuff. And I just make sure at the end of the day, they're getting what they want. In the chance that they say, I go, $150,000, would you be happy? They're like, no, I want $175,000. Right. So I always say, you have to say that you can never be the one that says the number first. So they go, I want $175,000. And then the objection to that is, why?
Right.
And then you let them defend their position because you already have all the ammo. You have the comps. You have what everything's sold for. You know the market. You know everything. And once they go, well, you know, I put this addition into the kitchen. I did this and I did this. And then you could just lay the truth on them. But at the end of the day, when they get what they want, all those fees go away and all those complaints about the fees go away.
I agree. I want to point out, I love it, Frank. Thank you. I want to point out one thing that he said that is really important. A lot of people, when we overcome an objection, we try to hit it head on. And what Frank said is sidestep. And I love that word. I've always used the word deflect, where we're really just kind of, you know, just kind of ducking out of the way, because oftentimes they say something because they feel like it's their due diligence. It's kind of like when you walk into, you know, Nordstrom's, someone says, can I help you? And you just instantly deflect with a, no, I'm just looking type of deal. It's a knee jerk reaction. They don't even really intend to get a response from you. If you were to say, yes, in fact, I would like some help, they'd probably drop dead. I mean, it's, whoa, someone actually, you know what I mean? So there's these knee jerk impulses. And for a client, they need to feel like they've asked the right questions, that they've done the right thing on their end. So if we do sidestep it, oftentimes we never come back to it, right? And then, but we still address the concern. We're not hiding anything. We're not playing hide the ball. We're showing them on a net sheet. We're showing them how much their net proceeds are going to be in Frank's example. And that does solve the problem. But what it does is it eliminates the objection to listing with you. So understand that overcoming objections to listing or working with you on the buyer side, oftentimes you don't need to come at it and win an argument. It's really just putting less deference on that objection and focusing on moving forward with them, sidestepping, deflecting, and moving straight ahead afterwards. So I really do like that one too. And one thing I will often say, and this is true with any transaction fee typically, even if you don't have the ability to do a net sheet because it's just not feasible, like for whatever reason, you need it in a pinch. I'm just going to tell you a little trick that what I'll tell someone is, you know, I can do a thumbnail sketch and I'll teach people this all the time. I'll say, hey, if it's a listing consultation, you know, I'll say typically all of your costs are going to be about 8% of the sales price. So how much do you owe on the property? And then I can basically tell you how much your proceeds are going to be. Because 8% is a high number, and it typically will include, because 6% is going to be for your commissions and 2% is going to be for your closing costs. There's your 8% right there. And that should be high. In other words, you're probably going to be a lot less than that. You know, you never know, because we prorate things like taxes and insurance and some other costs. So you never know at what point in the year you're going to pay more or less because of those prorated amounts when you close at different times during the year. But if you say 8%, you're always going to be high enough, and it's usually going to be quite a bit high so that you're able to give good news when they actually see the actual amount of their net proceeds. So it actually sets a proper expectation so that you can please them later and or have a transaction fee included in the net sheet. On the buyer side, you don't have to pay for commissions, so it's only 2%. So you can quickly do a down and dirty how much your down payment's going to be by saying, okay, what kind of loan to value you're getting? You're getting a 90% loan with 10% down. We just got to find out what 10% is and add 2% of the purchase price to it. And again, you're going to have a very good estimate of how much that down is. And all of a sudden, that can include your transaction fee, especially if you're charging, you know, a lower transaction fee under $500 a transaction, you're definitely going to keep it under 8 and 2%. So that's always the quick thumbnail sketch to getting, you know, you just got to know how much on the seller side, how much they owe, how much the sales price is going to be, and then subtract your 8% and you're there. On the buy side, you just got to know how much they have to put down, add 2% of the purchase price, and you're going to have a down payment amount. And that's typically the two numbers they want from a buyer and seller's net sheet, which helps go a long way to making you and them feel comfortable with a transaction fee, because it, as Frank very eloquently put, it has everything to do with the amount of their net proceeds. They do not care how much you get paid. They think they should, but that's not really what they should care about and what they care about. What they care about is how much money they're going to make and what they're going to be able to do with that money. So I like that. Any other thoughts on that? Thank you, Frank. Any thoughts on that?
You know, if something helps, I remember when I volunteered with recruiting at the office, and there were times people shared what other BREs looked like with like Pinnacle and other local offices. Mm-hmm. And I was blown away. We had actually the lowest amount that we were billing people or charging people, whatever you want to call it. Like our admin fee was like the lowest in the valley, or second to lowest. Some people were charging $1,500, some $900, some $1,000, $1,399, you know, $1,399. So that was pretty eye-opening for me. And after seeing that, it made it even more easier for me to do it, because I figured, wow, we're nowhere close to what these other players are charging their clients. And on the listing side, I get offers all the time where it says buyer to pay this fee, this fee, this fee, and it adds up to like $900. So, you know, I've seen those on different people's offers or whatnot.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, Philip, because oftentimes, you know, most real estate agents are very confined to what happens in their own market. And usually the players in the market that are charging the fees are your top 10 or 20 agents in the market. And they're very secretive and we don't know what they're doing necessarily. So you don't see that. But that's why I actually did the post. It was sneaky. I put that in the Facebook group so you'd start to see that all there's a ton of people charging it, you know, and all different crazy amounts all over the place. You know what I mean? In fact, a lot of them even said, I'm going to up mine. I'm seeing these other ones. I had no idea, because in any given market, it's a really small percentage of the agents, albeit it's usually the top producers. But when you start to see it from a big, all of a sudden that confidence gets out there. And, you know, my job is to represent you guys and our clients and make sure you guys make the most money. So if you're not going to fight for you, I'm going to fight for you. And I can tell you right now, you know, if that makes Philip $10,000 more or helps him with 10,000 of his costs, you know, that's another pillar of income. So, you know, do the math in your head, see what amount makes sense. And then, you know, maybe give it a shot. You know, if it's something you're comfortable, talk with your broker about it. I mean, you're all in different offices, talk to your broker, make sure it's cool. And you know, that, you know, running it by people. I do see some questions in there. Yes, this is something we do want to tell our clients up front at the time of the listing or the buyer consultation. I don't want you to sneak this by. And Frank was not suggesting you sneak it by. That's not what he's saying there. We do want to disclose all this information, but it is the delivery that matters.
No, let me clarify that, because what I did is I got them to buy in on what they were willing to accept on the front end. And then I explained all the fees after that, because right, at the end of the day, they're getting what they want. Now, if they balk at anything, I'd be like, really? Right. You're getting exactly what you want. This is the cost that it takes to sell your property. And all you're doing is explaining it. And it puts you in a really powerful position, because nobody, I can tell you, nobody approaches it like that.
Yeah, I like it. I do like it. So yeah, so that's good. So I think that's really important that we clarify that too. So right, yeah. So that's one of the things that, you know, I would talk to your local brokers. This is very specific to geography. But I think here's the thing I would like you to know is typically if you have access or relationships with the top agents, ask them, do you guys charge fee? And you'll be surprised sometimes, like, whoa, you know, and they're the last person that needs more income, you know, but it's not uncommon. I know there's plenty of people on that post I just showed you, you know, they're closing 100, 200, 300 homes a year, and they're charging like 400 per fee. I mean, we're talking $50,000 to $100,000 a year of increased income. You know, that's powerful. You know what I mean? That's a lot of money. And then they're doing it over and over again with seemingly no problem at all. So I'm here to tell you, you can too, if that is something that you choose to do. That's what I want you to get. I'm not telling you there's a right or wrong, but I don't want you to hold back because of fear, because of what your clients will say, because that's not the right reason.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Real Estate Trainer Podcast, sponsored by Eisenhower Coaching and Consulting. For more information about real estate coaching or to watch Brian's training videos, check out therealestatetrainer.com or find us on social media. And remember, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast so you get the latest episodes as soon as they're available.